Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hello, is this thing on?
Hello, testing. 1, 2, 3.
Testing! I figure we might as well just record the sound check today, because, you know, we're a little pressed for time. We might as well just sort of get it out of the way.
We're in a rush?
I wouldn't say a rush. It's just, you have apparently some sort of schedule that we have to meet, dude, because you gave me like 3 distinct time slots that we could do the podcast, this being one of them, and I noticed that you're 11 minutes late, so that means we're on the clock, right?
Well, that's true. My previous engagement, which was making lunch for myself, ran a little bit over.
I wasn't aware that was scheduled, but okay, good to know.
That's 11:30.
All right.
So, you got a problem with things being scheduled, dude?
Not at all.
You're just a little free flowing.
I am, as people who know me know, I am always on time.
Not everyone has the luxury of just getting up in the morning and going shooting.
I did do that.
Yeah, it's go out and fire a handgun and out of anger.
No, it was just out of fun.
So shooting guns is fun.
It is fun. It's a lot of fun, as anyone who listens to the podcast who's ever shot a gun can attest to. It's lots of fun. And if you would go, as
no, I have been shooting with you once.
Yes, but that was like a bachelor party thing, and that's when you don't even know what you're doing, and you're just like, bang, bang, ah.
I shot a machine gun.
Right, in Vegas.
This is a really weird opening to the podcast.
It is. Well, this somehow we're going to circle back to Pratt's or Crane in a second. I know it.
I'm going to Home Depot after this. If you'd like to come, I got to match some paint.
Oh, that's...
I'm doing some grocery shopping.
Wow.
Taking a little bit of load off the pregnant wife.
Yeah, there's lots of good things going on.
Yeah, there's good stuff going on. I'm going to Lowe's, try and get some shelves for my garage.
Okay.
So I know that's going to be about 2.5-3 hour block in there.
Right.
You want to know my schedule, dude. I'm going to tell you.
I did ask, unfortunately.
And then I'm going to probably have to use the bathroom around 3.
Round 3.
So
good
that's
to know.
Why I mixed that in there. Could be number 1.
You never know.
Could be numero dos.
Yeah. I'll make sure not to call you at that time.
Or it could be what we call in the biz number 3.
Yeah. Number.
Do you know what that is, a number 3?
Do I need to ask? I know you're going to tell me.
It's like getting a combo meal. Both.
Great. 1 + 2. Got it. All right, dude. So I'm glad that we've, you know, used the first part of the podcast to get to the important stuff.
And you know whose number should be number 3? Patrick Kane.
A little bit of both. Yeah, he didn't look that great last night.
No, he always looks dangerous to me.
Yeah.
So now we're going to start talking about the podcast.
I guess we should actually talk about hockey since
okay. This
is ostensibly a hockey podcast.
All right.
Dude, so Chicago last night, the only two games that we did not, that happened since the last podcast were Chicago last night and then Calgary. So we'll talk about both of those. Let's do the Patrick Kane thing. 0 points, plus 1, 4 shots on goal, 1 block shot, 19 minutes. Quite a bit of power play time and hardly any penalty kill time. Standard Patrick Kane fare. Wasn't able to score. That line wasn't the best line for the Hawks last night.
Yeah, but still dangerous. This was a story of 3 different periods, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got the first period, all Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Second period, all Hawks. Third period, basically all Sharks again, mm-hmm. You know? So how do you feel after seeing that game last night?
I'm happy for the win. The fact that they've now lost 7 in a row does sort of, unfortunately, take the sheen off the win a little bit. You always want to beat the good teams, right? But Chicago is flailing right now. And so this isn't the same as if they were riding high and we went into Chicago and we beat them. They came to us on the road, lost 6 in a row, and we managed to extend their losing streak. So maybe the salt still hasn't completely worn off from a couple weeks ago. But the fact that they coughed up a 2-goal lead in such short order did make me unhappy. But I thought that Chicago had really grasped the momentum of the game at that point and that they were going to just keep rolling like they seem to always do against the Sharks. And to the Sharks' credit, they managed to stop that momentum and come back and win. So good for them. That's great. I'm just... you know,
that,
I wish it was
gotta
a little
be the most unconvincing, like, celebratory comment ever.
I just
good
wish it
for
was,
them. That's great.
I just wish it sort of was going the way it was going in the early part of the game.
You can't have a 6-0 win every night, dude, at home.
I understand, but you lose a 2-goal lead in 3 minutes. It's not good times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could call up a Boston Bruins fan and ask him about their 6-0 loss to Buffalo the other night.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a win. It's a win against a team that's sliding, but still a good team.
Right.
I mean, I think we both expect Chicago is going to be around at the end. Like, they're going to be, if they're not in the conference semis, it'll be surprising.
Oh,
right?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're going to be around. You expect those final four teams will be Chicago, Detroit, Vancouver, and us.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's the expectation, right?
Sure.
And how do the Sharks match up against those four? Well, Vancouver, not great.
No.
Chicago, it seems this year better. You know, I mean,
right.
They've played better. I liked how the Sharks, in the two periods that they did dominate, were extremely aggressive and extra pissy.
Yes.
Which I thought was outstanding. When I don't know what happened, and we were talking to a few other listeners at the game about what happened during the Jumbo Patrick Taze tiff.
Yeah.
You know, in the first period, where, you know, Jumbo obviously was upset with Taze about something and started punching him in the face.
Right.
It was like pick on on Jonathan Taze night, right?
It was, which was great. I do like that when I it seemed like it sort of backfired there because they came back and scored 2 goals. Although it wasn't Taves who scored, but I thought it kind of backfired, and it did certainly spur in the fight between Mayers. And
did Taze have any points last night, or where was he? I don't remember him. Nothing. I mean, he did nothing. You know, so that's
totally
great.
Zeroed out.
You kind of negated their best player,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and took him out of the equation. Their captain, he was definitely rattled. He got hammered a couple times. Big hits, physical play. That's what everyone does to the Sharks. So it's about time we start. We're big enough.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start doing it to them. And then, you know, they've got that fight. And then Duncan Keith reaches around and starts, you know, finding a way to punch people. Just had to reach around, you know? Just,
yeah. It was funny because I thought he was going to get third man for that.
He comes. Yeah, he should have. See, he shouldn't have been there, dude.
Yeah.
I love the game last night, and it's a good win. And I like Jamie McGinn's goal, and I like his fight, dude.
What a great goal by Jamie McGinn. Wow. Just great hands around the net. 3-for-6 on the power play. Seems like special teams are really coming alive here. Chicago did not score in the power play, and the Sharks won 50%. That's good times. You know, when special teams really pick up like this, that's good. I know we were really scared about, especially the penalty kill earlier on, so... And they, you know, when you see Kane and Hossa and Taves and Keith out there, and I don't know who the fifth is they're playing. I don't know if they're actually playing, like, say, Victor Stahlberg on the point or whatever. But, you know, they got some pretty good players there on the
power play. Oh, the power play is outstanding. And that first one, they were just moving it around with perfect ease. The thing that was a little I didn't enjoy was seeing how easily Chicago just seemed to gain the line every time and get set up. But if that's the strategy and it worked, you know, 3-for-3 kill, then I guess we'll take it. But that seems pretty dangerous, right?
Well, the thing is that if you're going to do that, then the play has to be kept to the outside at all times, and those passes across the box can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sharks have definitely cleaned that part up of their power play, I think. Earlier in the year, it seemed like, okay, they're going to play really passive and they're just going to, you know, allow them to gain the zone. But, oh, wait, look at all these passes going through the box anyway. So that seems to be the trade-off you make for not being aggressive. And the Sharks, like, there was that one power play where they had the puck for a long time, and we were sort of gritting our teeth watching it. But after the Sharks finally cleared the zone, I thought to myself, you know what? There really wasn't any great scoring chances. Sure, there was a lot of tense moments with guys seemingly open looks at the net, but nothing ever got through.
I don't remember Niemi having to make some sort of glorious save to bail us out. Or, I mean, he made some good saves, but there wasn't, like, that moment where he just completely... Am I wrong?
No, I mean,
nothing
the only thing
stands out to me
I can
is
think
like,
of is that one huge massive pileup that resulted in the closing the hand on the puck penalty.
He was solid, but
right.
but it wasn't like he had to be the star in the win. The forwards and defensemen were better, so game over, Sharks win.
Yeah, and plus the goaltending, atrocious.
Yeah, they've got some problems, and I'm not exactly sure how they're going to address it. And listening to Darren Dreger on NHL Live this week, I mean, he said the Hawks, no matter what they're saying, you know, Stan Bowman's definitely trying to make some deals and is looking at goaltending, but you're having a hard time finding quality goaltenders out there. It's not like Dwayne Roloson is going to be the answer for the Blackhawks. And evidently, according to Dreger, Nabokov's not available right now because the Islanders seem to think on whatever magic planet they live on that maybe they might still have a shot at the 8 seed because of how poor some of those teams are down near the bottom. I mean, you've got Washington flailing around down there. So, you know, teams like the Islanders and Buffalo's won 5 of 6.
Mm-hmm.
They're not ready to sell yet. You know, they think they might be able to, even Montreal is winning now. So some of these teams that were sellers, are they kidding themselves and holding onto their goaltending? I mean, I hope so, because that means Chicago is going to have the same issues going into the playoffs, or maybe they'll make some sort of really stupid deal for Javi Bulin or something.
Yeah, that would be fun. I was reading the Twitter feed of the beat writer Adam Johns during the game, and that was pretty entertaining. And plus, I think there's a Second City Hockey or some Twitter feed that was pretty fun. And I guess they basically just transcribe different comments that they make during the game. So I was going through some of the game comments that they made last night. It was hilarious. Both of them were calling to fire Joel Quenneville, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
They're like, get Joel Quenneville out of here. He sucks.
I read that this week, too, on another Chicago Blackhawks beat writer. I think there's two different newspapers in Chicago, and this other guy, Al Similiglia or something like that, is another writer. And he didn't advocate for it, but he said a lot of people are talking about it, which seems pretty ridiculous. But he thinks that the team has tuned him out. But I don't know. Listen. Fire him.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know, make some sort of stupid move, but...
Right. Bring in Barry Melrose. I don't care.
It's been pretty clear that the moves they made in the offseason have not worked out. Like, they're...
Right.
O'Donnell, Carcillo, Mayers,
mm-hmm.
Brunette. I mean, none of those guys have had a
Brendan Morrison.
He didn't even play. He didn't even play last night.
Healthy scratch last night.
So, those moves have not worked out. Bringing in Ray Emery has not been the answer. So, let's hope Stan Bowman has all the wrong moves down the stretch and either does nothing or makes a really dumb move, giving up a big prospect for something worthless. Shall we talk about the Calgary game? Because we're kind of feeling good right now.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
Skip it.
Okay, we'll skip
it. It's like it never happened.
Yeah, let's just pretend. Let's just pretend. So because we just talked about GM moves and rumors with Chicago, we should talk about GM moves and rumors with San Jose. Because
there's a lot.
Certainly the Ray Whitney rumors have hit another gear this week. I think I didn't actually listen to the episode, which I should have. Someone didn't do his homework.
Matt D'Agostini.
I think he was on the Greg Wyshynski podcast talking about Ray Whitney. And, you know, for those who... I mean, everybody should know by now that Drew Mendick coached Ray Whitney when he was first on the Sharks, when Drew Mendick was an assistant coach. So Drew Mendick is clearly in the tank for Ray Whitney. And I'm not saying that Ray Whitney isn't a good player. He is. But it seems like Drew is sort of driving that bandwagon a little bit. To me, that seems to be like he's the one who's saying, oh, Ray Whitney's so great and, you know, it could happen. He talks about him enough that, of course, Drew's not going to go out and say the Sharks should go get him, because that's sort of not his role and that's not usually what he does. But if he talks about it long enough, it's going to catch fire eventually, right? I mean, if he mentions Ray Whitney like every 30 seconds, sooner or later someone's going to say, hey, maybe the Sharks should go get Ray Whitney, right? I mean, is that how you see this? Or you think there's any substance to these rumors, or is this just wishful thinking?
I don't think it's... I don't see Phoenix trading their top scorer to another team that's contending for the division title. Mm-hmm. That seems ludicrous to me. Now, will Phoenix trade Ray Whitney because of financial reasons? Maybe. I mean, they might. And, you know, but if you're going to trade Ray Whitney to the Sharks, you know, they're going to ask for like Jamie McGinn back. And hell no.
Right.
Like, absolutely not. And Ray Whitney's a top six forward. He's playing on their top line. Where does he fit? Does he solve the problem? Is scoring really the issue for the Sharks?
Well,
not lately.
That's the thing. It's, you know, in the last few weeks, it seems like people are agitating for another second line player, which to me seems completely missing the point. I mean, the problem over the summer was that we had too many second line players, and now we don't have enough. It's like you gotta, in a way, I think if you keep churning, you're gonna end up with nothing. And I know we've talked about trading for Paul Gostad and giving up a fair amount for Paul Gostad, but to me, that's a completely different situation because Paul Gostad's a guy that hopefully stays on the team.
Right.
Like, you want Paul Gostad, and then you want to re-sign him, and then you want, you know, you want to pull the same stuff that the Sharks have pulled so many times before. You go trade a guy, you sell him on the city, he figures out, hey, guess what? The weather here really does kick ass, and these guys are pretty cool, and so, yeah, this is a good organization. I'm going to stick. Ray Whitney is not in that same boat. What is he, 38, 39? I'm not saying he's a bad player, but you don't trade for Ray Whitney and then sign him to a four-year deal because, like, he'll be collecting Social Security by the end of that contract.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't match with what the Sharks need, in my opinion. And the price is going to be high, and there's going to be a lot. If he really is available, there's going to be a lot of other teams that are going to be in the market for Ray Whitney. And I don't want to see the Sharks make some sort of silly move. Maloney's a good GM in Phoenix. We saw how he operated the Kyle Turris situation. He handled it brilliantly. He got Run Blad out of Ottawa. And, you know, he's not going to just let him go.
Right.
So,
The fact that it looks like Ruutu might sign in Carolina now.
Yeah.
I bet Maloney's on the phone to Jim Rutherford every other day saying, you know, you really should sign that guy. He is awesome. Because that's just going to make the market that much better for Whitney, don't you think?
Yeah. I think Ray Whitney is going to get traded. It makes sense for a team like Phoenix that has no shot of winning the Stanley Cup. No shot.
Right.
You know? And they may as well, if you can get a team like Chicago to give you back, you know, one of their top three prospects.
But
and
Chicago doesn't need Ray Whitney. That's
but
the last
I'm just
thing
saying, you know, a team like that.
Right.
Like someone who needs him, like might want him. And if you can get a good player back, and I would hold out, you know, unless you can get something fantastic in return, then don't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, keep him and try and make the playoffs. Other players, you know, that we've heard mentioned, that pillar of personality, Kevin Kurz on CSN Bay Area.
Burn.
The Sharks insider on CSN Bay Area. Maybe he's got the best knowledge ever.
Right.
But it's like watching the cement dry on my new fence posts in the backyard. He's boring, dude. And the promos for him are so boring. It's like
The promos do seem, it's almost like it's almost sarcastic. Like this guy, it's like he doesn't even talk. He just sort of stands there.
He stands there and stares at the gum. He's like, sugarless gum. That means the Sharks are watching their weight or something like that. It's like, what? Really? I'd rather have the, you know, big fat Ray Ratto. Like,
oh man.
And I just like him too.
Dude, this is gonna be a good one. You're churning up a lot of crap.
Oh, come on, dude.
We could do better, dude. Let's, okay, sure.
I'm just saying for Sharks Insider, like, right. Let's, anyways.
We could go through I could go through Dan Boyle's garbage. I can figure out what he's having for lunch.
Dan Boyle clearly has the flu. I see the endless bottles of Vicks. And
he ate lunch at 11:30. That means I'm not calling him at 3. I'm learning more about Dan Boyle every day.
Okay, all right. So our Sharks Insider has given us two nuggets of information this week.
Okay.
The first one was Travis Moen, which we've talked about.
Right.
And now, you know, he is putting back out there, and other people have picked up on that the Sharks maybe are the front runners or re-interested in acquiring Travis Moen. So when I first read that rumor, dude, I thought, you know, the idea of Travis Moen is the right idea.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
It is the right idea. It's just, I hope we don't play the Ducks in the playoffs again because he's going to disappear. You know, obviously, it's sort of a fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me kind of situation. I'm a little bit hesitant to bring back Travis Moen for another bite at the apple when he missed the apple by about 20 feet last time.
Right.
Talk about disappointing. I mean, that was one of the most disappointing deadline signings I think the Sharks have had ever.
Because we expected him to have the type of impact that we're looking for that guy or whoever it is to have this year, you know, to be. And he showed it in the regular season. And then when the playoffs came against his old friends, he turtled up and disappeared.
He lost the taste for it.
It was pretty sad. Let me tell you exactly why we don't want Travis Moen.
Okay.
All right? Because Travis Moen and his wife just had a baby in Montreal.
Oh.
And they just had the baby in the last week. You don't want a new dad being traded away from Montreal, where his family's going to stay, mm-hmm. and come out to San Jose again. Haven't we been here already, dude?
Yeah.
He already was distracted once playing it. So I say absolutely not. Absolutely not. And if Doug Wilson was considering it, then he should go down to the nursery in Montreal and find out what's going
dirty
on.
Dirty diapers. What does this say about Travis Simone?
I'm looking through his garbage. It smells of stewed carrots and peas. I'm thinking maybe a third round pick. Dude, no, we cannot. Absolutely not on Travis Simone.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
He'll be so distracted. I mean, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine, you know, baby Santana arriving mm-hmm. the end of April and then, you know, my job sends me to, you know, Colorado for 3 months.
Right.
Like, it would be devastating.
But we are just schlubs sitting here doing a podcast.
I know,
it's not quite the same thing as a professional athlete.
Okay, but still, professional athletes aren't robots.
I
mean, they have human emotions. Like, this guy's just supposed to... He said, flat out, I don't want to leave. I read a thing about it today. He doesn't want to go.
Okay.
And so, well, he's saying, I don't want to go. I want to stay here and help them turn it around. And you know they're going to trade him because they obviously don't give a rat's ass about anybody's feelings in Montreal. But I hope it's not here, because we've been down this road with him once.
Okay, dude. What's the other nugget? Do we have another nugget?
We do. Today, Sharks Insider was...
the baby's drinking purple Pedialyte. What does that mean?
Was going through the garbage of a certain Washington Capitol and noticing that his insurer has been purchased from the West Coast. So maybe the last two games he's been scratched, that Mike Knuble might be on the move from the Washington Capitals. Now,
I do like
that.
Mike,
I have some interest in. Mainly because I think the price on Mike Knuble mm-hmm. is going to be pretty low.
I agree.
You know, mm-hmm. he's having a poor year. I think he's got 11 points. He's got history with Jumbo.
I was just going to say that. Isn't there some sort of Joe Thornton connection here?
There is. I mean, they played together in Boston. And the guy, you know, thrives on the power play. He's 39.
And he's great in front of the net. He's like the Tomas Holmes, another Tomas Holmstrom, essentially. I mean, he plays in front of the net all the time.
Everybody needs their... Recce,
yeah.
for a cup run. And, you know, we've seen, you know, in Tampa Bay, I mean, that was Andrew Chuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Boston, it was Recce. You know, the Sharks have tried this before with JR.
Right.
You know, I think it's very possible that Mike Knuble could be had for a price like a, you know, you look at Corey Stillman last year.
Yeah.
Similar.
Yeah.
He was traded from Florida to Carolina for a fifth, and Ryan Carter, who's like a fringe NHL player at best, a mm-hmm. depth guy. So could you get Knuble for a fifth and John McCarthy?
Yeah, I would do that deal.
Yeah, right?
Although John McCarthy is the number one scorer for the Worcester Sharks. Did you download the Worcester Sharks app?
No.
Dude, I'm going to show it to you right here.
Wait, dude, I have that. That's at 2 o'clock.
That's scheduled?
That's at 2 o'clock.
I got to tell you, the Worcester Sharks app is pretty damn cool.
Really?
Yeah, it's good. They have like the roster, they have stats. See, they got all these buttons for the schedule.
Oh, wow.
Pretty nice.
That is nice.
A link to the Twitter feed, a link to Facebook, photo gallery.
I'm going to download it.
I'm totally all about this.
I'm just going to put that in my calendar. I'll do it around 2.
Yeah. Okay. Good times. Mike Knuble is interesting. That's a name that I haven't heard on the rumor sites very much this year. So Mike Knuble, I'm interested in. Absolutely.
Where does he play?
I mean, he's the missing second liner, right? I mean, you would put him and you just plant him in front of the net.
So when Havlat comes back, where does he play?
Well, you find out where he's able to play first, right? I mean, he's not even skating, to my knowledge, right now.
Right.
I hear tales of him taking shots on the ice in sneakers, which seems to be even more dangerous than skating, to be honest. It's a little slippery out there.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I still, if we get Knuble, I'd like to still see them get another player. Like, I don't mm-hmm. think that's necessarily the answer. But Knuble, you know, not a bad guy to have around. And worst case scenario, he's playing on that fourth line instead of McCarthy or Ferriero.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got him for depth on the power play. And you've got a guy like that, veteran presence. I'm interested, you know?
Right.
I'd be curious to see what the listeners think. Should we make that the poll question?
Yeah. Mike Knuble. For the kinds of exchange that we've talked about, you know, fifth round and AHL type player, that kind of thing.
No, not paying a premium price. You're not going to pay that for a guy who's 39, who's having, you know, his worst season as a pro, you know,
right.
And has now found his way out of the lineup. I mean, that's a guy that Washington, I think, is going to want to move in order to clear the cap space on their end to maybe make a different move of their own. So, why Mike Knuble, you know, it's a thought. The other thing I was thinking about, dude, with in terms of the Sharks at the deadline is we've seen Doug Wilson strike long before the deadline comes. You know, he's kind of notorious for making his move a week or two before the deadline in order to not get into the sort of shenanigans where you're one-upping someone at the last minute, you know, raising the prospect, raising the pick, and getting into a bidding war. I mean, Ian White was here before the deadline. Voleen was here around this time last year. The Sharks got Voleen 2 years ago when they started this road trip.
Right.
So a Mike Knuble type move, that could come this week.
Are we playing Washington soon?
We are. I think we play them. I mean,
they just throw him over the wall. Let's give him another jersey.
It could be no coincidence that that might happen. Well, you know, certainly it's going to give, you know, McPhee and Wilson an opportunity to talk.
Yeah.
You got to think Doug Wilson's probably traveling with the team. I've got the Sharks in Washington. Let's see. Sharks in Washington on Monday.
Okay.
So, happy Valentine's Day.
So,
Mike,
you know, we
Knuble.
Don't see that many East Coast teams. So, Sharks fans, take a good look at Mike Knuble and think of think about if you might want him on the other side Monday night, because that might be that's an interesting idea. Because you're right, he is definitely in the same category as JR and those kinds of things. I mean, maybe he's not a slam dunk Hall of Famer the way JR is, but I mean, he was pretty great once, Mike Knuble, and he's still not totally washed up, because the way the NHL is these days, they just get rid of you if you just suck. I mean, you see these guys. I mean, you know, Sean Avery can't get a job, and all these other guys, you know, not getting into the league. So.
He had 24 goals last year. I mean,
it's pretty good.
He's not. I have a hard time believing that he's just completely lost it.
Right.
And Doug Wilson seems to kind of have a soft spot for guys like this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and Washington's just, who knows what the hell are they even doing?
Well, they're.
I mean, I think a trade rumor about Mike Green, for God's sakes. I mean, everything is up in the air over there.
Yeah.
Mike Green's like restricted next year. And wow. I mean, could Washington just ditch him? I don't see that happening.
No.
But
I could see them trading Mike Green in the offseason. You know, I mean, if you're.
I don't mean this year necessarily, but I mean, you know, he could be gone next year. That would be
sure
inconceivable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his injury, he hasn't played, put together a full season. You know, this is something actually I was thinking about before you even brought it up is, you know, a team that should make a full court press for Mike Green in the offseason is the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Mm-hmm. You know, if they can get that premier number one, you know, puck moving D-man.
Right.
And get him in Edmonton with those forwards and manage to not give up any of their big three in return, you know.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet. So. Just a thought, dude. Just a thought.
All right, dude. Well, so we talked about Washington. So we're playing the Blues on Sunday. Blues are still playing pretty well here.
Yeah.
Within the Hitchcock system. So that's another good test for the Sharks, I think. At least as good of a test as the Blackhawks, because we're going to be on the road and we're playing against a really good defensive team as opposed to Chicago, who seems to have some goalie trouble and some D trouble, certainly defensive depth trouble. I mean, who was starting with Duncan Keith last night?
Sean O'Donnell.
Yeah, Sean O'Donnell on the top pairing with
O'Donnell,
Sean. Oh, God, please. So I don't think the Blues are going to have that same problem. So it's going to be a horse of a different color in St. Louis on Sunday. So I'm interested to see how that turns out. They got much better goaltending and a stronger team defensive concept, that's for sure.
And you've got St. Louis as a tough way to start. Washington, who knows what that game's going to be like. Sharks always seem to play well against the Caps.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see the Sharks get a point in St. Louis. You know, get a point.
Right.
Take them to overtime. Get a point. Tough place to play. You go to Tampa. Tampa, you got to win in Tampa. I think the Sharks this week need to get 5 points out of these four games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get 5 points. You know, Carolina, they've been playing better, actually. And they seem to have some guys who are trying to make a point that maybe they don't want to go anywhere, you know?
Right.
So if you can get 5 points out of possible 8 in these first four games, I think that that's good stuff.
Right, and then you can set yourself up for a next week that will be
much more difficult.
Yeah, a little bit tougher.
Yeah, the next week, Detroit, tough game. Columbus should be a win.
Right.
Going to Toronto, that's hard.
Right. You know? And Nashville's always a pain.
And Nashville's always a pain. And the next night, you got to go to Minnesota. So that's a tough way to end. Tough way to end for sure. Dude, I want to ask you about Colin White. All right. Since we're talking about yeah. the trade deadline, Colin White, the last two games has been pretty miserable.
Yeah. Wow.
Where do you stand with our top six D? And do you feel like, you know, with his performance the last two games, are you willing to kind of just write that off as just not something that's going to continue? Or does it time to throw Jim Vandermeer in there? Or when Tamaris get back, he'll take the spot? Or do we need to go out and get another guy?
Right now, my reaction is we got enough depth that we can... I mean, Demers wasn't like... I mean, we didn't talk badly about Demers until this year. And Vandermeer has been decent, actually surprisingly decent on the fourth line. So if I was the coach, I would put Vandermeer in for the next game and I'd sit Colin White. And then hopefully Demers will be back and then it'll be sort of a three-way battle to see who gets playing time. I'm cool with that. I'd rather not go and try... You know, we talked about Hal Gill last week. I think Montreal is going to want the world for him. You know, Hal Gill would be a nice addition, but I don't think I'd be willing to give up the kinds of things that the Sharks would have to give up to get Hal Gill. And that's the kind of player that we're talking about. And at the end of the day, is he that much better than... I mean, is he like way leaps and bounds better than the Colin White that we thought we were getting at the beginning of the year? I don't think so.
Leaps and bounds? No, but...
I mean, he's certainly better than what we've seen out of Colin White in the last 2 games.
I haven't seen a ton of Hal Gill this year, you know, but Hal Gill's track record is very strong. But it's not like you're getting any sort of mobility. You're getting a big body who can play physically and block a lot of shots. You know, do you really want to give up, you know, Freddie Hamilton and a second?
No,
for
not even.
You know, 6 weeks of that? No, you know, no, not when you, you know, maybe the Sharks will kick the tires on someone like a Shane O'Brien or, you know, someone from another team that maybe is not going to, you can get for.
I think Shane O'Brien is the poor man's Sean O'Donnell.
But I'm saying you could get someone like that who's not under contract for next year, I think, Matt D'Agostini.
Yeah.
And not pay like a big price for it. But yeah, I'm of the mind to say, you've got to just go with what you got. I want to see Vandermeer play.
Yeah.
Let's let him play, you know, and let's see. We've seen Colin White the last two games. His extended audition has not got him a part in the playoff cast so far.
No.
So, and he failed miserably in that top pairing audition when Boyle was out. Mm-hmm. He was terrible.
Not good.
So, I mean, he's falling down. He's making bad passes. He's out of position. He just seems like every time he touches the puck, he's like the East Coast Semenov right now. Like you just, and I didn't think I'd feel that way about him.
I didn't either. And I'm just hoping, you know, he's had a long and productive career and I'm hoping he's just fighting it the last two games and he's going to be a pro and he's going to pull his head out and he's going to be fine.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping for. And I would put my money more on that than he's going to continue to go downhill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
I think that's fair.
He wouldn't be playing in he wouldn't have played in New Jersey for 10 years.
No, he's not a bad player.
If he was just a piker.
No, he's not a bad player. He's an above average NHL defenseman for sure.
All right, dude. Last topic quickly. Proto talked about this week. I think we talked about it maybe slightly on the podcast about how one rumor for the next CBA is there might be some sort of amnesty clause where a team could buy out any player, one player, each team could buy out one player and, you know, I guess they would just buy out their contract for a certain percentage, sort of like the buyout clause now, but there would be no cap hit going forward. And he talked about the first half of the teams alphabetically, so that does not include San Jose. And he rated about which player would that team buy out and how likely would that be. So, dude, let's answer the question for the Sharks. Which contract do you think the Sharks would be most likely to buy out? And even how likely would that be?
Yeah, I think I'd probably buy out Logan Couture.
Yeah. God, that guy sucks.
He's a terrible, terrible player.
Whew.
Well, we talked about this last night. I think you hit it right on the head, dude. There's probably one contract that you'd want to get out from underneath. And
maybe one.
Well, I think given the opportunity, I think they'd do it, and that's Martin Havlat.
Really?
I think they would do it. You know, if you could get him, if you could spend the $5 million on someone else who you feel a little bit more confident is going to be able to play 70 games, 80 games. Although, you know, Sharks ownership hasn't shown the inclination to eat large contracts, although they are eating Nidamaki. Mm-hmm. They have eaten Kyle McLaren in the past.
Right.
I mean, don't you think that's really the only one?
I think it's the only one, but I still don't think it's that likely.
I know he has an injury history. I'd say higher than 50%.
Really? You think they'd do it?
Yeah, I think so. You know,
the thing is, I just don't know. The problem is that, as we've talked about so many times, I mean, the Sharks are built to win in the next 2 years. So if you're going to ditch a $5 million player, whether or not he's a real $5 million player or not, if you want to win next year, then you got to replace him with somebody. Because, I mean, I love the way Jamie McGinn's been playing, but if the new second line standard is Jamie McGinn, I'm nervous about that. And, you know, last year we had seven top six forwards, and next year if we have five or four, I'm not going to be very happy. I'd rather have Martin Havlat for another year, I think, with the chance that he'd be actually healthy and could produce 30 goals, than having a couple extra bucks and not knowing where to put it.
Well, your point is well made in terms of the Sharks' unrestricted free agency history has been poor, you know.
Yeah.
And you look at the crop that's out there for next year, you know, Sharks, no interest in Semin. You know, who cares?
Yeah.
Would you be interested in Zach Parise? Probably, but I think every team in the NHL is going to be interested in Zach Parise. And either he's going to stay in New Jersey or he's going to go to an East Coast team, or maybe the farthest west he might come is Minnesota, you know, where he's from.
Dude, Cristobal Huey? Hell yeah. Now we're talking. I'm trying to read upside down.
You know, I'm just kind of looking at things here going, you know, if you had $5 million and you knew you could sign Shane Doan instead of having Martin Havlat, would you do it?
Oh, of course.
Of course you would.
But he's never leaving Phoenix. It's not happening.
I don't know if you say never. I mean, if Phoenix picks up and moves to Seattle, he may not feel that need to go, you know? I mean, Shane
Doan, he was there in Winnipeg.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude.
The list
is not outstanding.
No,
you know,
it's not.
When you look, so
Michael Roosevelt, I'm listening.
The tough part is too, is if you look at Havlat and you go, okay, we're gonna get rid of Havlat, but then we also are gonna pay. So instead, you're getting rid of Havlat and you're paying the $5 million to bring in another player. So you're basically on the. So Shane Doan has become essentially a $10 million player.
Right.
You know, and now I'm starting to think maybe the Sharks just wouldn't do it.
I think it's unlikely. If you want to, I think you take one freak injury, and it's a different story, because we have no idea how Havlat would be playing right now if he were in the lineup. So,
yep, that's true. All right, you kind of talked me out of it, dude.
Sweet, dude.
Nicely done.
My work here is done.
Can we wrap this up? I've got somewhere to be.
Yeah, I know that you do, dude. I see that your calendar's up on your iPad, and you have to leave within 6 minutes.
One last thing, since I've got 6 minutes, dude. This week on Kitchen Nightmares, which is a show on Fox, they did a restaurant in Fremont.
Oh,
and
yeah?
It's called Spin a Yarn or whatever, and the people who run it are totally kooky. But when they relaunch the restaurant, they always have people come and eat, and this episode, it was the Sharks.
No way.
Yeah, they came and ate at this restaurant, Spin a Yarn. It's very Ryan Klo gets all
Spin a Yarn?
Spin a Yarn, yeah. It's
what does that even mean?
I don't know. Dude, it's Klo, Couture, McGinn, Colin White, very clearly there. Those were the guys that I noticed. I didn't see Jumbo. Murray was there.
Nice.
They all ordered the prime rib.
Uh-huh.
And
did they like
it? It was pretty funny. They brought a jersey for the owners. They took pictures of people. There wasn't like a lot of camera time, but they made a real big deal about the Sharks being there. It was kind of funny. If you have a chance to watch it online, or if they repeat it, it's Spin a Yarn episode of featuring the Sharks eating prime rib. Delicious.
What's that dude's name? Ramsey?
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay?
Yeah.
It's Gordon Ramsay, right?
Yeah.
Did he like holler at the Sharks?
No.
My God, man, get your head in it.
I don't remember there being a lot of interaction between
him
and and Gordon Ramsay. No, I don't remember that.
Well, dude, that's a nice little anecdote, so I'm sure we
could... Well, thanks, dude. I'm glad I could fit something in. I hope that wasn't too late in the podcast.
Dude, you're the one with the schedule, not me. I'm just laying around. I'm taking a nap later. I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
Oh, to be able to go shooting and take a nap. What a tough day you've got. Are you going to play some show tunes on your piano after I leave?
I might do that. You might. This is the life I've chosen, dude.
As I see the open... Let's see. What's open on your piano today, dude? Tell the listeners, take the music off the...
Dude?
The Billy Joel keyboard book. All right.
Full transcriptions. Not that fake...
All right.
Not that easy fake piano crap.
All right.
Full transcriptions of Billy Joel tunes.
Acceptable.
Thank you.
Fully acceptable. And I'm proud of you.
Thanks, dude.
I'm proud of you. I'm also proud of the pink towel on your treadmill.
Talk to you later.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.